Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Staying at home and watching television has meant a lot of Australians have been hearing more about payday loans from various companies. I've always been brought up to understand that nothing is for nothing, and so I'm always wondering what these seemingly good deals to everyone really costs. Today, I have two experts to help me understand more about the different ways of paying for our expenses and what alternatives are available that might be better in the longer term. Welcome, Karen Ely, financial coach, and Marissa Schultz, mortgage broker.
Hi, Julia.
Thank you, Julia.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Marissa, first of all, can you tell me more about these payday loans that we're starting to hear more about?
Absolutely, Julia. They're starting to become very popular. So payday loans are effectively short-term loans. They're unsecured loans. They're generally quite easy to access. They attract very high interest rates, which are actually disguised as fees rather than an interest rate. And it's, you know, people are enjoying them, I guess, because it's effectively like receiving your paycheck in advance. It's very tempting. It's a very tempting quick fix if you're short of money. But the question that you need to ask yourself and you need to understand is how much is that quick fix really costing you?
And what sort of rates are they attracting?
Payday loans actually can't have an interest rate attached. So what they do is they have very high fees that are actually disguised. I guess it's high interest rate that are actually disguised as fees. And some of them are as high as, 24%. So it actually is quite an expensive debt over time. What you have to remember is that these debt facilities and the whole profit model of these lenders is actually, it's actually designed to get you into a, trap you into a cycle of debt. So, you know, when you take out these payday loans, it's fine if you can meet your repayments, but what we're actually finding and what the ASIC review recently showed is that most people are actually spending more than they would have normally spent as a result of having access to these payday loans. And one in six people that actually take out these payday loans actually fall behind on their repayments. And that's where you really get stung quite badly.
And are people really taking them out just to take them to the next payday? Is that really what people are using them for?
Well, there's probably a combination of that, but also they're being used very widely in retail spending. So just, I guess it's, you know, some people see it as the new lay-by, but the reality is that it's a lot more expensive because there is, you know, it is actually a credit facility. It is actually a debt that you're entering into. So I think it's just, unfortunately, I think our society, you know, wants that instant gratification as we're sort of progressing and not willing to save for something that they want to buy when it's so easy to just buy something, put on Afterpay or, just get it quickly and then have those repayments, not actually thinking through what those repayments will actually mean for them long term. I guess the other thing that we need to keep in mind is the fact that it is so easy to access, there is a lot of onus on the borrower to actually decide if they can afford it or not. So when you actually go and apply for a mortgage or a credit card, there's a lot of onus on the bank or the lender to assess your capacity to repay that loan and to see if you can afford it. But in the case of payday lending, it's very easy to access. There's very few checks that are done, which is what makes it so attractive for so many people because it's quick and easy. But it also means that the responsibility is being put back on the borrower to decide for themselves if they can afford it. And most people that are going for these loans are generally young people or people that are on low incomes that don't necessarily have the capacity to think through whether they can actually afford the repayments moving forward.
And Marissa, how much can people access through these loans?
Look, it does vary from payday lender to payday lender. Generally, they can access, you know, up to their paycheck and sometimes a bit more. With Afterpay, you set you're given an initial limit, and then if you're using it responsibly, then your limit can increase. So it does vary across different payday lenders, but it is possible, you know, what there is also a cycle happening that a lot of people who can't afford their repayments are actually then taking out further high interest debt like credit cards, for example, to actually meet those repayments. So it then becomes debt on debt on debt. So what might start out as a small $1,000 or $2,000 payday loan might blow into something far greater that becomes really difficult to get on top of.
And Karen, in the last few years, we have become a lot more familiar with Afterpay replacing credit cards. Can you tell us more about Afterpay and how that works and how people are using it?
Yeah, so Afterpay is what known as a buy now, pay later service, which basically allows consumers to purchase a product or a service at a store or online and pay it back in interest-free instalments, and they're usually 4 instalments. So some of these buy now, pay later companies listeners might be familiar with, they're Afterpay, Zip, Klarna, Layby, Pay It Later. There's actually more than 10 different companies in Australia, and more than 6 million Australians have accounts, and the highest users being millennials and Gen Z. So they're very easy access to credit.
Are there any dangers to them?
Yeah, so you know, most people are using them quite well, but you know, at the end of the day, these forms of credit are encouraging people to spend money that they don't have. And they're very clever in their marketing on social media to attract those younger people that, like Marissa said, it's just around that instant gratification and social media influencers endorsing them. So the second trap and the biggest trap is the fees. So, for example, if you miss a payment on one of your instalments, there's a $10 payment fee. So if you've used, say, a company like Afterpay and purchased something for $50, that $10 payment, late payment fee, is the equivalent of a 20% interest rate. So as Marissa was explaining, there's no interest rates that are set to them. It's all about the way that they make their money is through the late payment fees. And so if you miss that first late payment, then the next one can go up to another $7. So they are capped. They can't charge more than 25% of the original purchase price, but 25% interest rate is pretty high. And so based on the ASIC reporting, 1 in 5 buy now, pay later customers surveyed have actually missed a payment in the last 12 months. And 47% of those are being in that age bracket of 18 to 29 year olds. So they're just really encouraging people to spend money that they don't have. And like Marissa said, they can get into the trap of not being able to pay it and then using credit cards or other forms of debts to pay it, and then it just snowballs and snowballs.
And I guess the fact that there's so many of these schemes mean that people can get multiple ones and then be in debt with a few different schemes at the same time. Is that correct?
That's right, Julia, because there's no essentially no credit check on these people that are applying for them. So as I said before, there's 10 companies. So an individual can have 10 different accounts with all of the different providers, and the others won't know about each other. So, and the other thing when it comes to these buy now, pay later services is they're actually exempt from the National Consumer Credit Protection Act. So there's no real enforcing of ethics or protection for consumers. So, you know, when there's financial hardship circumstances, their policies are a lot harsher than traditional banks.
Just to add to what Karen's saying, so Afterpay, you know, might be capped at the 25%. But there are some payday lenders where they can actually charge you up to double what you actually borrowed if you default. So you need to be really careful which payday lender you're going with, because, you know, if you borrow $1,000 and you end up having to repay $2,000, that's obviously, you know, very detrimental to your financial situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, whilst they don't do a credit check to actually give you an account, if you aren't making the payments, it can affect your credit score later on. But on the positive side, for those consumers that are using these services in a positive way and using it the way that it should be used, they're not actually building up any good credit score either.
So I guess, you know, similarly to credit cards, you can have a credit card and effectively pay a lot of them off within the month and not pay any fees. And you can also use these forms of Afterpay and not pay fees if you're paying them correctly. But
yeah, that's right.
The difference is the credit score. So Marissa, as a mortgage broker, do the different borrowing schemes impact on your borrowing capacity when it comes to a mortgage?
Absolutely. And I think they impact a lot more than people think that they would. So Karen's already mentioned that if you default on these schemes, then that can impact your credit score. But the reality is that even if you don't default, just by the very fact that you're taking out these buy now, pay later or payday loans is actually impacting credit score. The reason for this is that every time you get an Afterpay facility or another Zip Pay or whatever the payday loan that you're getting, it's actually an inquiry on your credit report. These inquiries show the lender that you're applying, if you're going to apply for a home loan later on or a car loan or a credit card, the lender can see that you've applied for payday loans. And what this tells the lender is that you're not very good at managing your money because you've been put in a situation where you need to borrow money in the short term to fund a short-term purchase on an unsecured basis. So already this actually has a very big detrimental impact on your credit score. And these days, more and more lenders are moving to a system where when you submit a loan application, the first thing that happens is their computers will run a credit check on you and they'll produce a credit score. And this is something done by a machine. So it's not actually, you know, human interaction. They say these inquiries that come up on your credit report actually can be quite detrimental. So it does definitely reduce your ability to get a loan, and it does reduce the amount of lenders that are willing to look at you. If you've only got one payday facility over the last 2 years, that's probably not too detrimental, but the more facilities you've applied for, the more inquiries in your credit report, the more frequently they've been occurring, that will definitely deteriorate your credit score further, which will definitely put you in a poorer position in terms of finding a competitive lender when you're looking at buying a home and also getting a credit card, things like that. I guess the other important thing to note is that what happens on your credit report lasts for 2 years. So whatever you're doing now, whatever you're applying for now, it does stay there for 2 years on your credit report. So it's really important to understand the ramifications of applying for lots of payday loans in a short period of time.
Wow, that's really interesting because, you know, you say that when you apply for these loans, they're not doing any checks on you. It's easy to get them, but it's still on your record. So there is a detrimental effect. Wow.
They are doing a credit inquiry when you apply for these payday loans. So there is definitely an inquiry on your credit report, but the checks and balances are very minimal.
Right.
So there are some people that get declined when they do apply for these payday loans, but they'd have to have a very, very bad credit rating to get declined because it is very easy and it's very minimal. But there definitely is a credit inquiry every time you go down this path. And that's where a lot of people get trapped because even things like when you go to a shop and you buy something on interest-free terms, where you buy something from a shop and you don't have to, you can pay it off over a 24-month period or whatever that might be, people don't realise that's actually entering into a loan and that's going to cause a credit inquiry on their credit report. So whenever you're in a situation where you've got a buy now, pay later system or a payday lender, generally that will lead to a credit inquiry on your report, which will alert the lender, in the future that you're actually borrowing money to buy something that you should have really saved for or should have really used your own funds for. There was a report from Financial Counselling Australia that they released recently that showed that 84% of Australians in financial hardship actually have payday loans and have relied on payday lenders. And this is a significant increase from the previous 12 months, meaning that, you know, we're seeing a lot more people relying on these payday lenders, and it's actually getting them into trouble because they are falling into that cycle of being trapped into debt and debt on debt to repay the debt. So definitely, it is a problem for some Australians, and it is really important that if you're considering these facilities that you can meet your repayments and that you can comfortably service them moving forward.
So Karen, what are some of your suggestions as a financial coach to people who are prone to getting into personal debt?
The first thing, if you're already in debt, look to speak to organisations like the Good Shepherd because they offer financial counselling and interest-free loans up to $3,000, and you could use those for things like utilities, housing payments, getting out of debt, and they're accessible for people that earn less than $60,000 or a couple that earn less than $100,000. So that's a good place to start if you're already in debt. the next thing is really just talking about your challenges with debt or overspending or spending more than you earn. That's really the first step, because there's a lot of negative emotions like shame, guilt, avoidance, and anxiety associated with getting into debt or overspending. So being able to express and name these emotions is really important, because it's like we really need to start by working on our inside internal drivers before we can address the external practical money management things like debt repayments plans and things like that. So you really want to understand what are the causes of getting into debt in the first place. And in my experience, there's normally an emotional connection to it. Because the thing is, when it comes to money, most of us aren't rational. We tend to be emotional. So a great question, and one that I ask myself several times a day, is this behavior or purchase supporting the life I'm trying to create? Because this really leads to goals. Having financial goals, you know, that is the life that you want to lead. Goals are a really good motivator to do what's necessary when it comes to managing what we earn, spend, save, and invest. And it's really about taking small but significant steps, because being in debt can be really overwhelming. So we want to chunk down the problem into small, manageable steps. And that could be things like just taking the first step of calling the debt provider to work out a more manageable payment plan. It could be putting away $20 a week or $20 a month towards a debt repayment or an emergency account to fund things like that. It could be analysing where you're currently spending your money and where could you make some cutbacks or doing a budget. So it's just about taking small but significant steps in the right direction.
And one of the things I think about with payday loans is if people are really struggling just to get to the next payday, perhaps it's just something simple like, you know, they're paid monthly and they're finding it hard to manage money over a period of a month rather than fortnightly or weekly. Do you think that that has an impact as well?
I think it can. So some people get paid weekly, fortnightly, monthly. And I know there's normally more expenses at the end of the month than there is money. So, and that first day of payday, when you get paid monthly, it's like, wow, I feel really rich. I've got all this money in my account. And by week 3 to 4, there's nothing left. So if one of those things that you can do is start to create a financial buffer, and it could be that once you've set up that buffer, you can actually just pay yourself a weekly allowance or have some buckets set up in terms of your bank accounts that you're automating some automatic transfers, so you're just using it on a weekly basis and drip feeding in there. Because as I said, it comes down to that emotional thing. So if you look at your bank balance and it looks quite high, you tend to feel like, oh, I can spend a bit more and I don't need to watch my savings and spending as much. Whereas if there's a smaller amount in there, we tend to kind of can take a bit more constraint in our spending.
Thank you very much, both of you. It's been a really fascinating discussion today, and I think it's going to be really helpful to people to know, you know, that their credit score is impacted by using these loans, and just some tips of, you know, how to get out of debt. And, you know, the Good Shepherd sounds like a great idea. So thank you very much for both being part of the podcast today.
Thanks, Julia. My pleasure.
Thanks, Julia.
You've been listening to Karen Ely, financial coach, and Marissa Schultz, mortgage broker. Don't forget, you can listen and subscribe to Friends with Money and make sure you know when the next one is available. And you can listen on anywhere you listen to your favourite podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.